Hey, I don't know if you realize all the amazingness that is going on with Marianne in her life. Her star just continues to shine and rise, and she just had an amazing, really amazing performance in London.
Wow.
And yeah, with rave reviews, and came back to New York and had another show last week. And then in a couple of weeks, she's heading to the West Coast, to LA, to Palm Springs. But today she gets to be with us right here, our very own sister Marie Ann.
Okay.
So how about if we bring her in to set up whatever close encounters you are going to be sharing with us? And then I'll see you on the other side.
Okay.
Cool?
Okay, Reverend.
Hey, Reverend, brother. Carlito Wayne Anderson, bless you. And Marie Ann, sing it.
David played and it pleased the Lord, but you don't really care for music, do you? It goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift, the baffled king composing, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You say I took the name in vain. Well, I don't even know the name, but if I did, well, really, what's it to ya? There's a blaze of light in every word. It doesn't matter what you heard. The holy or the broken. Hallelujah. 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 My best, it wasn't much. I couldn't feel, so I tried to touch. I told the truth, I didn't come to fool ya. And even though it all went wrong, I'll stand before the Lord of Song with nothing on my tongue but hallelujah.
Wow, my sister, you just got my motor going. It was already going, but you gave it a kickstart. I want to thank you. You not only sang that, you meant that. I felt that. You meant it, and I feel it. And I want to thank you for that. I want to thank you for all of you at Unity. We've had three powerful sisters who have preceded this moment in our service. We had our sister Sarah Daisy Charles, we had Marie Ann, we had our sister Zoe singing our opening gathering song. I'm so grateful and honored to be in your presence this morning. As you can see by my talk title, I have chosen the title, Close Encounters of the Third Kind. We all know that that was a Steven Spielberg movie, and it was one that I can rewatch every couple of years and appreciate it as deeply each time I watch it as though they were the first. Those of you who know about it know that it has to do with an alien encounter. Close encounter of the third kind. A close encounter of the first kind is seeing lights or signs in the sky from a distance that seem to be otherworldly, don't seem to come from this planet or this plane. We're seeing them from a distance, but we know that something's fishy, something is out of this world. A close encounter of the second kind is not seeing a ship or a vessel from outer space, from a distance, is seeing it right up close. We see it land, perhaps in a field. We see the lights go down. Perhaps it's just hovering over a field, but we can see the details of the ship. And now we know that what we suspected to be true is actually true. The lights in the sky were not just appearing to be possibly a body from another world. Now we know by seeing it is true. I am witnessing something otherworldly. What is a third kind encounter then? A close encounter of the third time goes well beyond seeing something from a distance or seeing that thing up close. From another dimension, from another space, from another world. A close encounter of the third kind is an encounter with the beings in that ship, seeing them face to face. A close encounter of the third kind is what is called direct contact. You're not guessing. You're not seeing, you're experiencing direct contact with something that is out of this world. The scripture that I gave you this morning was about a woman. She had been sick for many years. Her sickness was one that had her bleeding, and we know that in the physical body, blood is life. And so each day for years, her very life force is bleeding, seeping out of her body. Some of us get accustomed to our state of being that is in the appearance of dis-ease. This woman became accustomed to her condition. But one day, she was told by friends that there was a being that was out of this world, and that to have a direct contact with this being would bring all of the healing available in heaven, all of the healing that is available in the cosmos, and it would electrify the person making direct contact and bring about release, a return to at ease from the appearance of dis-ease, back to a state of peace from a mental state of confusion and fear and worry and doubt. They told this woman, if you can make it to where he is and make direct contact, you will be healed. This is the important part. She believed what they said. She believed what she was told. And as the scripture records, as she crawled through the dust, making her way to the company of Jesus, she knew in her heart, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. It was her conviction, and she had to activate that conviction. I've spoken often that God is the power that enables us to keep putting one foot in front of another foot, in front of another foot, marching on forward and upward, even through the appearance of the valley of the shadow of death. This woman was definitely living in the appearance of the valley of the shadow of death. And although Pastor Carlos preaches, keep putting one foot in front of another foot, in front of another foot, this woman could not stand. And so in her case, and it has been my case on occasions, probably more occasions than I care to count or am willing to share, where I was not standing, I could not put one foot in front of another foot, in front of another foot. No, I was at a place in my life experience on, at times, where I had to do what that woman did. She crawled through the dust. So in her case and in her situation and in her condition, what she was called upon to do was to keep putting one knee in front of another knee, in front of another knee, in front of another knee. As she exited the space of the experience of the valley of the shadow of death, she believed, and in her heart of hearts, she knew she would do whatever it took to get her healing. You know, my daddy used to say, sometime you just have to get sick and tired of being sick and tired before you're motivated to do something about it. So when I think of my sister crawling through the dust, trying to reach the presence of Jesus, I realize on that day, my sister was sick and tired of being sick and tired. She wanted a change, and she was committed to doing whatever it took. The scriptures do not tell us in their recordings of how far she had to travel from where she was to where she was bound to be. You know, there are many books and many ideas and many spiritual therapies that tell us we can do something in 30 days, 14 days, even 7 days, in 7 steps, 7 steps to prosperity, 7 steps to attaining Christ consciousness, 30-day programs for the complete renewal of your mind and its transformation from human to divine. I personally have not witnessed anyone, anywhere, at any time that could do it with a quick fix, with a weekend retreat, with a month-long sabbatical or sojourn into meditation and study and affirmation. Instantaneous healings I have seen, but they were preceded by much more that prepared for that morning moment. Yes, I've been my sister, hearing about what it will take to make me whole. And I have had to do what she did, one knee at a time, crawling through the dust, to get to my healing. Hearing about the power of Jesus was one thing. Believing was another thing. But activating is quite something else. Doing whatever it takes is where it's at. With as much effort as it takes is where it's at. For as long as it takes is where it's at. This was no easy thing for my sister. It required the fullness of commitment. It required the fullness of her determination. It required all of her. As the scripture said, with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. I know, because I have employed these things to overcome. I have employed these things to rise to higher ground. I have employed these things to raise from the appearance of dis-ease into the ease of being touched by God. Jesus was an alien, come from heaven to inform you, you also are an alien. When our sister touched Jesus, he could not see her down there in the dust, reaching out to touch his garment. So he turned to the disciples and he said, "Who touched me?" Now there was a whole crowd of people hovered around he and the disciples. The disciples said it could have been anybody. People are brushing past and brushing up against you. People have bumped into you. He said, no, I didn't ask who brushed up against me. I didn't ask who accidentally bumped into me. I said, who touched me? Touching is not by happenstance. Touching is not brushing by. Touching is not being in the vicinity of. Touching is on purpose. Who touched me on purpose? It was that woman. And they say at the moment she touched the hem of his garment, the healing power of Almighty God poured out from him and electrified her. And in that moment, she was healed. No quick fix. No 7-day program. No weekend retreat. No month-long encounter on a mountaintop with other spiritually minded people. A lifetime of preparation. So like my daddy said, when you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, you just may come to realize for yourself that passing by or being in the vicinity of or even brushing up against the truth principles that we are founded in is no longer enough for you. You may come to the place of my sister in the scriptures where you know you need more than to read the principles. You need more than to recite the principles alone or in large or small group. You will arrive at a place where you know that your salvation, your freedom, your deliverance, and your healing lies in touching on purpose these principles of truth. Jesus, like everything else, is an idea. What is the idea or some of the ideas that he represents? We will have to listen to his own affirmations and declarations of identity that he made. I and the Father are one. I am the light of the world. I am all that God is. I have all that God has. I can do all that God can do. I am the Son of my Father. The great thing about Jesus is he didn't speak those affirmations or those truth declarations for himself as an exception among us, but as an example for who each and every one of us is. So touching those truths is having a close encounter of the third kind, direct contact with the knowing that there is but one presence and one power in the universe and in my life, God, the good, omnipotent. It's touching, having a close encounter of the third kind with such truth notions as God and I are one. I am the created one of the one creator. And if God is good, then good am I. That I create my experiences by the activity of my thinking, my feeling, my expectations, my suspicions. I am the author of my life experience. I am the architect of the story of my life. I don't know about you. I don't want to just read that the only power in the universe is God, and that God is good, and that I am part of God, and that I can activate my authority in God by monitoring my thinking, my feeling, my expectations, my suspicions. No. I have found that that is not enough for me. I don't want to see these at a distance and go, wow, those truths are otherworldly. I don't want to just see a ship in a field and go, wow, I am witnessing for myself. I can see the principles operating in the lives of others around me. No, that's not good enough for me. I want for me a close encounter of the third kind, direct contact. Everything Jesus spoke about himself, he said is true of you. Not just I am a child of God, the Son of God, but that you are the sons and the daughters of God. Not just that I am the light of the world, but that each and every one of you is the light of the world. And I urge you, quit hiding your light under a bushel. Take the bushel off and let it shine. The scriptures record that none of us here came from here. The scriptures record that each and every one of us has come here from the light. And to the light, we must return. The scriptures record, this earth is not your home. Therefore, you are an alien. Having a close encounter of the third time, the third kind, by touching Jesus and the truth principles that he represents, is a good beginning for me. But I tell you, I will not be satisfied and cannot be satisfied until I look in my own eyes in a mirror or a reflecting glass of any kind or a still body of water to see my own reflection and to know you are out of this world. This world is not your home. From the light you came, and to the light you will return after a brief journey here in physical reality. Thou art a radiant being I want to come to know for myself. So I don't plan to stop at coming to the conscious realization that this is true about Jesus or any other enlightened being. I won't be satisfied until every time I look in the mirror, I see something out of this world, from another dimension, a dimension that Jesus calls heaven, and that physicists call the realm of endless possibility. I'll crawl through the dust. I'll keep putting one knee in front of another knee when I can't stand. And when I am able to stand, I will continue to put one foot in front of another foot. I want a direct encounter with the truth of my being, child of God, being of radiant light, invulnerable, forever, always. I am the power of God. I am the presence of God. I am the light of God. I am the love of God. I didn't get that by being an earthling or a human being. This is my otherworldly identification. A close encounter of the third kind. Direct, direct, direct contact with the truth of my being. I want you to have some fun this week, and I want you to sing for yourself a little ditty that Sting of U2 came up with. I'm an alien. I'm a legal alien. I'm an alien in New York. For so you are. This earth is not our home. We have come from the light, and to the light we must return. So it is. And so we let it be. Peace. I am the soul. I am the light divine. I am love. I am fixed design. I am as God created me. That is all I'll ever be. I am created in the image of the One. God is all I'm living for, and I'm the one whom God adores, and our light shines brighter than the sun. It is not enough for me to know this by having heard it or spoken of it. My true, eternal, immortal self. I want direct contact. I access it now. A close encounter of the third kind with my true self. The eternal and invulnerable one, created in the image of the Almighty One. This is who and what I am. I go inside, remembering here and now that all space is inner space. Here in the inner space of my being, the shining one awaits. I am that shining one, a cosmic being. I have heard this. I have spoken this. And now I seek direct contact with the truth of my being and the safety that truth provides. I breathe into my heart, making direct contact with all I am and will forever be.
Somehow I know you're there. You're in the faces of the people that I meet. You're as solid as the earth beneath my feet. So if I should complain that all I have is not enough, forgive me, I've been given so much, and I am blessed. Every time I look into my baby's eyes and think of all the friends who've touched my life, I realize So many changes this world can put you through. Sometimes it's hard to find a way. A heart can get confused.